this morning. I would love to welcome everybody this morning to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for tuning in and listening and watching online, whether you're watching it now or later in the day. We're just glad to have you worship with us. There's not a whole lot of announcements going on. Just don't forget, Wednesday night, the adults are having their Harmony of the Gospels Bible study, and they started that last week, right? And started that last week, and that's how long is that? How many weeks is that?
Until we're done.
So, you know, it might go on till 2021. Yeah, you won't run out of stuff to talk about. And I'm glad everybody did make it up here. If you're here, and God had an alarm clock for us this morning, woke us all up. So, but thank you for coming today. Don't forget, on Wednesday also, when the adults are having Bible study, we're having youth Bible study in the building. We are going through a five-part video series and then talking about relationships. One week we talked about our relationships with our friends. Last week we talked about our relationship with our parents. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, without looking at it, having it in front of me, I believe this week we're going to talk about relationships with ourself and how that relates to what the Bible tells us about that. But just glad to have you with us. And here's Sandra to have us sing.
We have some wonderful news to sing about this morning, and that's the grace from our Lord and Savior. Would you all stand and turn your hymnals to page 329? Let's sing together, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. We'll sing the first and the third verses, 329.
Good morning. Good morning. It is good to see everyone this morning. Got a couple of things that I need to make you aware of before we go to the Lord in prayer. The first is that we need to be in prayer for the Smiths. Bill Smith passed away yesterday afternoon. He fell about 5 days ago and never recovered and passed away. So be in prayer for Margie and Sharon Bradley, their daughter, as they go through this process. And we'll give information as it comes available on arrangements and everything else like that. Bill has been over in Rutherford in the hospital there for a while. So please be in prayer for them. But we also have a praise. We have been praying for Sandra's brother, Stephen, that has been dealing with infections and leukemia and skin cancer in his leg and everything. And on several occasions, didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Well, found out Wednesday, he is in remission. So God answers prayer, and that just goes to prove that if our God is bigger than a disease called cancer, he's bigger than a virus too. So our God is still alive and well and still in the miracle-making business, and we praise him for that. But we still need to pray. We don't need to pray because God, to tell God things that he doesn't know. We need to pray because it gives us a chance to talk to our Lord and Savior. And we need to pray because it humbles a person to say out loud or even tell somebody else what is wrong, what is going on. But above all, we need to pray so that we can give the praise and honor and build our relationship with God the way we would anybody else. So at this time, please join me as we go to the throne and talk to our Savior. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbling ourselves and kneeling before the throne. And dear Lord, we just give you the praise and glory for everything. For being our Creator. For being our loving Father. For being our salvation. Dear Lord, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I cannot fathom the fact that you knew before we were created that we would reject you. But you created us anyway. And you loved us even when we hated you. And you sent your son to die for us when we despised you. But dear Lord, it's because of that love that you showed us first that we come together today to declare that we love you. And we come to worship you today. Dear Lord, those that are watching online and those that are here, we have many things that are on our hearts that are our burdens that we are dealing with. And in some cases, dear Lord, no one else except you knows it. But dear Lord, we lay all those at your feet. Dear Lord, this morning as we come together, we especially lift up the Smith family. As Bill is now in your presence and his mind has been made whole again. We pray for Margie and Sharon and David and the rest of the family as they mourn. Dear Lord, we ask that you let them feel your presence now more than ever. That you fill that void that's in their lives right now as only you can. Dear Lord, we pray for the Edmondson family right now as they're dealing with the COVID virus. Dear Lord, we praise you for the fact that there is improvement there. And dear Lord, we especially praise you not only for being our Savior, but for the miracle that we're seeing in Stephen, Sandra's brother's life, as he is going from being deathly ill to being in remission. Dear Lord, we ask that you continue to strengthen his body to continue to fight. Dear Lord, thank you for showing us a miracle again in this day and age. And dear Lord, be with our church as committees are meeting and decisions are being made and decisions about the direction of our church and things as we move forward. Help us navigate the unknown as we move forward. And dear Lord, just allow us to be a lighthouse, not only in our speech, but dear Lord, also in our actions, so that people may see that we are true ambassadors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, as we gather together today, we ask that your Spirit move among your people, that you open our hearts and our ears so that we may be able to praise you, that we may be able to worship you in all freedom. And dear Lord, above all, that when we leave this place, we will know that we have been in the presence of God, and that we, where we go, people will know that we are children of God. And we give you all the honor and praise for everything today, dear Lord. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Hello again. If you could, and you're at home with your kids, I want you to bring them close into the TV. And I was talking about this last week. I'm looking forward to a time when I can get them down here, get the kids down here again, because lots of times the kids don't know that I'm talking to them if I'm standing up here. They think it's just Artie up here boring them. I'm just kidding, Artie. He said adults do too, but no, they don't know that I'm up here with them. But I was excited this week. We had the opportunity again to go represent our church with hands-on missions and be involved in some evangelism. I didn't have any youth show up to go with me except for my kids this time, but because there were a couple out of town and things going on, it's hard to get people involved nowadays. But I want to tell you that Thursday was I was close to normal as and home as I've been in a while, because I was able to sit down face to face, 6 foot away from kids, and just see the wonder in their eyes and their reactions as I sat down and went through the story of Daniel in the lion's den with them and shared and tied it in with a gospel message about how God protects us, about how God promises to protect us in the midst of trouble. He doesn't promise to keep us out of trouble, but he promises to be there with us. And I was just able to sit there and just be in front of those kids, and that was amazing to me. But we're going to continue talking about laws today and rules. We had been talking about rules. I started 2 weeks ago talking about rules, and today I wanted to talk about two rules and a couple that really, one really, really irks me. We live in a digital age. Kids back there, I mean, not everybody, but get on and see things on YouTube and different things. And one of the things that irritate me more than anything, and if my youth are out here, they need to listen too, because I get on this, is OMG. That drives me insane, because that is a big, big thing for them. They think that's nothing. But the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, that we shall not take the Lord's name in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the Lord's name in vain. And a lot of times we think that we have to be saying something explicit to take the Lord's name in vain. But if I stub my toe, if I'm excited and talking to one of my friends and I say the Lord's name and I'm not meaning it in a way that I'm talking about him, telling somebody about him, or I'm praising him, then I'm taking the Lord's name in vain. So kids, you, if you're on your computers typing, stay away from that OMG. People type that all the time. And that is just that's the third commandment. That's just, you have to stay away from that. And then the next rule I wanted to talk about today was Exodus chapter 20, verses 8, 9, and 10, or 8, 9, 10, and 11. And it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant or your female servant, nor your cattle, your stranger who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, and a lot of things, understand, I said, well, Sunday, you know, we don't go out and eat on Sunday. We stay at home. We don't make people work on Sunday. But it doesn't have to be Sunday, because here's the thing. Pastors, Sundays, this is their biggest work day of the week. I mean, I know they work. He already also works on Wednesdays. But pastors is, we're there, and church staff, they're here at work on Sundays. But a lot of times, like the pastor that I had growing up, he would take a Friday, and Fridays would be his Sabbath day, and take that holy, and take that day off. He'd take one day and rest like the Lord did, because the Lord made the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now, kids, I like to did all my work in 5 days, and play on the sixth day and rest on the seventh day. So, but, you know, you do whatever works for you. So just remember those two rules as you go out through the week. Be careful with God's name. Don't use it in a way that's not pleasing to Him. And take one day, preferably Sunday if you can, and dedicate that to resting for God. And because God created the earth in 6 days and rested. And if we can do all our work, we can rest on the seventh day too, just like God did. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us rules and laws to follow. Because if we didn't have these rules that you laid out and you engraved in us, God, there's no telling where we'd be. We already get ourselves in a mess with the rules. And just imagine the mess we'd get into without them. Lord, we love you and we praise you. I also we ask in your name. Amen.
So when we say we have come to church to worship, there's a lot more to that than just showing up. When we worship God, we're recognizing who He is, what He is, for all that He has done for us, all that He is doing for us, and all that He is going to do for us. It's hard for us to admit that worship is not about us, that everything within the worship service may not be pleasing to us, but it's about God and pleasing God. However, worship does change us. The Bible tells us that when we worship, when we praise God, He actually dwells within us. So the more we praise God, the more He's living within us. And there's just a proven fact. You cannot be praising God and be mad at someone. It just doesn't work. You can't be in line at Walmart and raking that person out and praising God at the same time. So the next time you get mad at somebody, try praising the Lord. So we invite you to worship today. You're already here. So through our prayers, through the words that God has given Artie, and through the music, praise the Lord for what he has done for you, for what he's doing for you, and for what he's going to do for you.
Let my life
last week, I spoke about wrestling with disappointment, dealing with disappointment in our lives. Well, we're going to continue that theme a little bit today. We're going to talk about compared to glory, as you can see on the screen. But I want to ask you a question. Some of you, it's going to be a little bit of a stretch. Some of you, not so much. But do you ever remember as a child thinking that something that happened was the end of the world? I remember one time we lived on a cul-de-sac, and those of you that don't know what a cul-de-sac is a dead-end road, and our house was at the very end of it, in the middle. So me and my brother and all the kids around it would all get out there in that cul-de-sac, and we would play. Well, we were riding bikes one day, and we were playing chicken on the bikes, me and my brother. Well, this particular time, we had done it several times, and we all broke away from each other, you know, no problems. But this particular time, every way I turned, my brother turned. And so here we are heading each other, and we're going like this. Well, the next thing you know, what happened? Boom! He flew and I fell. I didn't fly because I've always been bigger, so I just fell. Right on my knees. And right in the middle of that cul-de-sac was a manhole cover, and around that manhole cover was what? Rocks. It was actually little bitty pieces of gravel, but to me at that time, it may as well have been a boulder from Mount Rushmore. It was huge. And it buried in my knee. And here I am crying, going back to my house, limping, dragging my half knocked off leg up to the house, get in the backyard where my parents were, sit on the lawn chair, crying. And you know what my parents did? Laughed. Which made me cry harder. I couldn't believe I was almost dead, and they were laughing. And so then my mom scrapes out that little bitty piece of gravel that was embedded in my knee. I still got the scar, by the way. I'll show it to you sometime if you want to see it. But I thought life was over. And then as I grew up, I started noticing girls, and I got my first broken heart. I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to breathe again. Now, some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Those are minor things. Those are all part of life, of growing up. But in that moment, it was severe. It was life-changing. You didn't know if the sun was going to come up the next day. We still have issues in our lives that we face. As Chad shared in his children's sermon, God does not tell us that we're not going to have problems, that we're not going to face hardship, but He does tell us that He will go through them with us. Sandra said, how can we praise the Lord and fuss and get mad at people and things? We can't do both of them. So we need to put things in perspective. And so the title of the sermon, Compared to Glory. When we deal with issues in our life, when we deal with problems, when we deal with pain, how does it compare to glory? So if you would take your book or your Bible, we're going to look at one verse today. As I was talking to my dad, many of you know that Ginger and I and my and the kids that we still have left at home, went and visited Ginger's parents this past week. We left Wednesday night after prayer meeting and we came back last night. Ginger's mom is progressively getting worse with her dementia. And so I was talking to my dad because we went through the same thing with my mama, my dad's mother. And seeing everything all over again. And my dad reminded me of this verse. And so, if you would stand, turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 18. If you would please stand as I read this. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says this. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not fully or not worthy to be compared with glory that is to be revealed to us." Let's pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, we once again come before you, humbly bowing before your throne, and we are thanking you and praising you for giving us the reminder in your word that what we deal with right now cannot even be compared to the glory that we will have when we are face to face with you. Thank you again for everything that you've done. May you receive all the honor and glory for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we need to analyze the present suffering and our future glory. Okay? The first thing that we have to understand is this, is that what we are dealing with now, the suffering that we deal with at any point in our life, cannot be compared to what awaits us, cannot be compared to the future glory that is to come. It fails in comparison. Look at what Paul says again in the first part of this verse. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared." They don't even come up on the same page as the glory that's awaiting us. He doesn't say they can't be compared. He says it's not even worthy of being compared. That's how big a difference there are in the two. Now, when we're dealing with these things, and let's face it, when you lose a loved one, that is a pain that many people cannot endure. That is a pain that stays with you. It never goes away. It gets easier, but it never leaves. But Paul says even that is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. And I want you to understand something. Paul was not ignorant or blind to the suffering of human existence. You may say, well, wait a second, he doesn't understand. How many times do I say something up here from the Word of God and in your mind you think, you just don't get it? Let's face it, we all think that. When I'm talking to my kids or my wife or even my dad, I do it with my dad. My dad will say something. I say, but Dad, you don't understand. Yes, he understands. We do the same thing with Paul. Paul understood. How can I say that? Well, I can say that, in fact, that he experienced more suffering than most of any of us will ever face. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 or 21 through 20, or 33, he gives us a list of his suffering. It says in these verses that he was five times he was beaten with 40 lashes by the Jews. Okay, 40 lashes was the limit that was allowed by Roman law for someone to be scourged. He endured that five times. Those of you that have seen the movie by Mel Gibson, Passion of the Christ, and it depicts what it looked like and what it was like to be scourged, how he was hit with that cat of nine tails and his flesh was ripped away from his body, and you could actually see ribs. Paul dealt with that 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. Okay? And I'm not talking, you guys have seen, remember those of you that were that are a little bit older, you remember when that young man got arrested in Asia somewhere for a key in a car or something like that, and he was sentenced to be caned? They took a long bamboo cane, flexible, strong, and his sentence was he was going to be whipped with that cane across his bare back. That happened to Paul 3 times. He was stoned 1 time. And I want you guys to understand this, that when you are stoned, even now, when they are stoned, and if you search for it on the internet, you will see over in the Middle East, in Muslim countries, they still stone people. And it is not little bitty rocks that they're just tossing at people. They're taking rocks, and sometimes bigger, and they are throwing them out them and tossing them on top of them, and they are basically crushing them with rocks. Paul was stoned. He was shipwrecked 3 times. And at least 3 times, he was imprisoned. He was probably held more than that, but he was actually imprisoned for 3 times, and the last one ending in his death. That is suffering. He understood, and on top of that, it says that he was given a thorn in the flesh. We have no idea what that was. It doesn't tell us. Many people believe that it was something to do with his eyesight. Others believe different things. But he endured an issue in his life that was a constant issue. And he prayed that God would remove that, and God said, no. You have that I may be glorified. Even though Paul endured all this, he still said that the future glory that awaited him outweighed the suffering that he was. In fact, Paul was the one that wrote this: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He understood this fact, that what he endured right now did not compare, was not even worthy to be compared to what awaited him. Then we need to look at what without heavenly hope. Romans 8:18, the last part, with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul understood something else that we need to understand today. Paul considered the Christian life to be foolish and tragic without the hope and glory of heaven. Look at what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men must be pitied. He is saying that if we only know who Jesus Christ is here on earth, and it doesn't carry over to the afterlife, that if what we believe is not true and it does not give us hope for the future, does not give us hope after death, then we need to be pitied among all men. We are fools, is what he is saying. There is a hope. When you have hope in Jesus Christ, that carries beyond the grave. And without that hope, The best we can hope for is here now. And the only way we can say that suffering now does not compare to the future is having that hope in Jesus Christ. And without that hope, the pain and suffering you feel now is the best it's going to get. Now, is that sad or what? That is very sad. Because in the light of eternity, choosing Jesus Christ is the wisest and best choice anyone could make. The hope that is found in Jesus Christ, everything fails in the face of that. Then it says, revealed in us, in the New American Standard that I just read, it says revealed to us. But in the King James Version, it says revealed in us. With the glory that is to be revealed to us or in us. Why is it different? Well, the preposition that is there, it is actually translated in, to, through. It can be translated in many different ways. But what it basically means is this, is that it is made complete in us, through us, to us. You understand? That's what that little word, I mean, it's a little bitty preposition, but that's what that word means. A little bitty word means so much. The coming glory will not only be revealed to us, but it will actually be made complete and revealed in us. Well, what does that mean by that? When the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, and He begins to change you from the inside out, making you into the new creature or new creation in Jesus Christ, that change then becomes what? You know, that change is going inside of you. It is happening to you. But what happens outwardly? People start seeing what? The change that has been being made in you. They start noticing the difference. Your speech changes. Your actions change. Your attitude starts to change. Because of what Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is doing in you, He starts making changes to other people through you. Not because of us, but because of Him. God has put this glory into the believer right now. We get a taste of the glory that awaits us. You guys remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I remember being on the back row. I've shared this many times, being on the back row and white knuckling the back of the pew. I was holding onto that pew so hard, but I was shaking. And I was shaking so hard that my brother thought I was having a seizure. And as soon as the pastor finished his prayer and he said, the very first syllable of amen, I was out that pew. And I ran down. I said, I cannot take it anymore. I have got to get this right. And the moment I prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask Him to forgive me of my sins, it was immediately a weight taken off my shoulders. I felt like I was walking on air. All the things that I was scared of, I was literally not sleeping at night because I was scared to death of dying in my sleep. Back in the 80s, when it was not required by law to wear your seatbelt, I started wearing my seatbelt because I was afraid I would get killed in a car wreck. And you know what happened the very next day on my way to school? I got in a car wreck. And I had no fear. That glory, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get a small taste of that glory that is waiting for us. It says that we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we are being made perfect. It says that several different times in the New Testament. What it's talking about is this, is that we get a small taste and we continually, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we continually get moving toward that glory that is awaiting for us. And I have said this many times also, that our salvation does not become complete until we are standing face to face with our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why so many people on their deathbeds, those that have that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they get to a point where they are calm. And they start saying things like, can you hear that music? Can you hear the singing? Or they stare off and they get this look on their face that's unbelievable. Because they know what is waiting for them. They see the end of the road and they see the glory of their Savior, Jesus Christ. The glory will be revealed, not created. The implication is that it is already existent, but not apparent. That means that we know that it's there. We just can't grab a hold of it yet. You guys have heard the saying, anything worth having is worth working for, right? We live in a society that we don't have to wait for a lot of things. Let's face it, we live in an impatient society. We live in a society that is full of instant gratification, and we think that everything is like that, but it's not. It is worth working for. It is worth putting up with the pain and the suffering to get what is awaiting us. Now you think about this. Remember as a child, knowing Christmas is coming. And you see that Christmas tree. And you see those presents start building up underneath the tree. And you start getting excited. Because you know what is going on. You know what is about to happen. You know that it's almost here. And then Christmas Eve gets here. And my kids start getting to the point where they start asking, can we open a present yet? Can we open a present yet? They don't know exactly what's all under the tree, but they know it's something. And then we have our Christmas Eve service. We go home. It's Christmas Day. Kids go to bed, mom and dad stay up a little while longer to get everything ready. Finally get to bed. It may be 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You finally lay asleep. And the next thing you know, you hear feet running up and down the stairs. You hear doors closing and opening. You hear giggles and laughter. And church, that's the way we need to be. About what is waiting us. We know it's there. But we have no idea how big it actually is going to be. Because what we have written in Scripture, it even tells us that everything can't be written. There would not be a library big enough to hold everything that there is to know about what awaits us. We need to have the excitement of a child waking up on Christmas morning for what we are waiting for. So that is why Paul says that the suffering of life today is not even worthy of being compared to what is waiting for us, for the glory that is waiting for us. Now here is my question. How can that change how you are living right now? The hope of that glory that is awaiting us. How can that affect you right now? Many times we as Christians, we get caught up on what we're dealing with and we lose sight of the fact that we serve a risen Savior that is walking through these problems with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love what they told the king. They said, King, we don't have to answer you about this because our God is able to save us. But even if He chooses not to save us, we're still not going to bow down. So either way, you lose and we win, is basically what he told them, or they told him. And you know what? You know the story. The king threw them into the furnace. And he's looking in the furnace and he says, hey guys, how many people did we throw in there? They said, 3. He said, well, there's 4 of them and one of them is walking around like the Son of Man. And when they came back out, he called their name and they answered to him. They walked out of that furnace. Didn't even smell like smoke. Not a hair was singed. There were 4 people walking around in there and only 3 came out. Why is that? Because God, Jesus Christ, is still in that fire waiting for us to walk through the fire with us, because He knows exactly what is waiting for us. He knows the glory that is waiting for us. And He is going to walk through the fires with us so that we may know the glory that is awaiting us. If there is something that God is wanting you to do, get it taken care of right now. You don't have to leave your seat, but if you want to, you're welcome to come up and pray. You can come talk to me. My mask is right there. I'll put it back on if I have to. But listen to what God is saying.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 310, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow, and Night, 310.
this morning. Thank you for joining us online. Don't forget that we do have Bible study at 6:30 on Wednesday night. We're going to be going through the synopsis of the gospel or the harmony of the gospels. Let me say this about that. There is only one gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are four accounts of the gospel, and we're going to be looking at those four accounts as one to get a full picture and see how they fit together to give us a perfect description of what Jesus went through in his life and his ministry. So please join us at 6:30 for that. Also, immediately following the service, if I could get with the guys up in the sound booth, Todd and Chad, real quick, just have something to run by you guys and see if it is doable. So please be here, or please join me for that in my office, guys. And again, thank you guys for being here. May God bless you, and may you have a safe trip home or wherever you're going from here, and that he will keep us safe until we're able to be together again. So please join me in prayer as we're dismissed. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Dear Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And dear Lord, thank you for reminding us that even though we will deal with issues, with suffering, with problems, with pain, that all of it fails in comparison to eternity with you. Dear Lord, bless us and keep us until we can be together again. Allow us to go from this place and be your witnesses. Allow us to show the love of Christ to everybody we come in contact with. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.